Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, November 14th, 2014. And with me today, I have two incredibly brilliant people. Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm eager to meet the incredibly brilliant people as well.
I was wondering who the heck was on the show.
And that other voice is Brian Chaffin. How are you,
Brian? Hey.
And I know it's going to be a surprise. I can't wait to see who these people are too.
You won't believe what happens next.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, our sponsor this week, Casper Mattresses, and I'm excited to talk about them later because I'm also going to tell you how my sleep patterns have changed since I've started using one of their mattresses. So
sweet.
Yeah. So the first thing that that I would like to take a look at today is this really great piece that you wrote, Brian, about how the FTC has been talking with Apple about HealthKit and potential privacy related issues surrounding HealthKit.
And the FTC is the Federal Trade Commission. We should probably mention that they regulate trade. As it were.
Federally through a commission.
Yes. And they apparently have been talking to Apple about privacy and health data. They went to Apple looking for assurances that Apple wasn't planning on selling this data. Of course, those of us who follow Apple regularly understand that's one of the selling points that Apple's been making is that Apple won't be selling that data to third parties. And the FTC also wanted to make sure that developers wouldn't be harvesting that data and selling it. And Apple assured them that developers who are taking part in HealthKit have agreed not to do so.
And that's an agreement that I'm really happy to hear about.
It is, because it turns out that there are 12, according to a little study the FTC did, there are 12 developers, and by developers here we mean companies, who are making health and fitness related apps who are harvesting your data right now and selling it to 76 third parties. So right, this is happening right now. There are people who are making health and fitness apps on the App Store who are collecting your data, and they're selling it.
And just now, to be clear, this is outside of HealthKit.
No, they did not release the...
Okay.
They did not release that particular list. And it's... I forget to... Kelly, it was Kelly who said it in the towers that, you know, your doctors have to be careful about your health information because of HIPAA, which stands for the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, which tightly governs what doctors can do with your data. But developers don't have the same restrictions.
It's true.
I mean, it's
we just live in the Wild West of a lot of this stuff.
Right, because technology does tend to move faster than legislation. And the FTC has asked Congress to pass legislation that would, at the very least, make brokering this data more transparent, or require it to be transparent, I should say. And they seem to be interested in having something a little more structural put in place that would actually prohibit this sort of trade. And here's my question. Is this the missing information that we've had over Fitbit?
Oh.
And as you've been talking, I've been wondering the very same thing. And I'm going to see if I can get an answer out of them.
It's because Apple is requiring developers who are going to take part in HealthKit to have privacy agreements in place, privacy policies in place that prohibit them from harvesting and selling your data.
And I'm glad that Apple has that in place. And I'm now wondering, are the companies that have decided to not embrace HealthKit doing so because...
Are they one of the 12?
Yeah. Is Fitbit one of the 12? That's the question you want to ask. Yeah. I mean, maybe you don't want to ask that question when you call them up, but, you know, because.
But that's what I want to answer.
Yeah. That's the answer you want.
Don't everybody listening, don't tell them.
Yeah, don't tell Fitbit.
This is going to be great.
Now, to be fair, we don't have any evidence that Fitbit is.
No, but it is the one thing that it makes the most sense, right? Occam's Razor says that this is a highly probable reason that Fitbit and Apple would not work together, because otherwise it's a duh move.
Yeah, both of you, I realize, know my theory that when a party is saying or doing something that appears irrational, almost every single time there's a missing piece of information that will either cause them to change their behavior or make you not consider it to be irrational.
That's right. Yeah, few people choose to do things that they believe to be irrational.
Correct. Yeah, it's always missing information unless someone is actually crazy. And I said more than once about Fitbit, there's a missing piece of information here because this doesn't make any sense. This could be that missing information. Fitbit could be making a tidy profit by selling our data, or they could have plans to make a tidy profit based on our data. Either.
And we'll see if we can get a very clear answer to that question.
And, you know, but so the FTC could end up making this be a somewhat moot point, because let's be honest, the Congress over the next 2 years is not going to pass such legislation.
Probably not. But there's still, I think, a really positive thing that has come out of the FTC asking Apple point blank about this. And it's that Apple has reaffirmed what they've already told us, that no, they're not selling any of our information, and they're requiring developers to not sell information as well. It's one thing to tell us as the public, but when the government comes knocking at your door and you tell them the same thing, there's a different weight that goes along with that.
You know, that's true, but if Apple is, you know, at this point, Apple is just cutting off its nose to make sure that its face can't make a profit from it. If Apple is the only party that's actually playing by these rules, of course, you know, Google's entire model, any kind of information they can collect about us goes into our profiles that they sell to advertisers. The same thing is apparently true with these 12 developers making health and fitness apps as it is. If Apple is the only one playing by these rules, Apple needs to do a better job of marketing this point and not just have Tim Cook say it in interviews.
This feels like a crafted PR move jointly by Apple and the FTC.
Oh, it could be. But that's not good enough either. Apple needs to make a point of this. Yeah. Apple needs to be out there letting ordinary people know we're the company that's protecting your data.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, right now some of the echo chamber knows.
Correct.
And you know, we all, you know, those of us who are on the pro privacy side or the pro Apple side, either one, we're like giddy up yay. Right. And the people who are not on that side don't care. It's just but if Apple actually thinks this is a selling point for people, which is what Tim Cook has said, then why not go ahead and let the people know?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, maybe
they are. Yeah. Or maybe that's what this is, right? This is, you know, Apple's good with their PR.
Yes, they are.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm going to see if I can get some straight answers out of Fitbit, and we'll report back.
You've been trying to get information from them. You've been trying to get them to explain why they haven't supported HealthKit.
And they have been surprisingly quiet.
And they have, with both you and everybody else. And, you know, since you've tried to get that information, they've been kicked out of the Apple store, both the online stores and the retail stores.
Actually, their products are still in retail stores. It's just the online store. I think availability is limited in their physical stores, but But still, the fact that you can't buy them from Apple online, that is a pretty big statement on Apple's part.
Yeah, it's actually an even bigger statement.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not like it's taking up shelf space.
Right. Yeah. All right. So I will keep hounding them in a polite way, of course, because that's how I roll. And we'll see if we can get
Don't go all Canadian on this, man. Don't be too polite.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean American polite.
Wait, way to offend. How many more people can we offend?
Well, I don't really think I was offended. Canadians are polite people. I like that about Canadians.
Yes.
That was not an insult.
No, I'm pretty sure I just offended Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
We're equal opportunity offenders here.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I said, that's how I roll. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that is Casper Mattresses. And I've been promising all week that I was going to tell everyone how my sleep patterns have changed since I've started using one.
That's casper.com/TDO, Jeff.
That's exactly right. Where if you go to that URL, you can get a $50 discount on one of their mattresses, which is great because they're already far less expensive than their competitors. I mean, they make these really nice I'll call it a hybrid mattress because it has memory foam and latex together, but it's not like the old style memory foam mattresses where you just sink in and you're kind of stuck. It's really comfortable. You can move around easy. You don't overheat, and they feel
it's
really
it's
nice.
An all foam mattress. It's just two different types of foam,
right? And put
they
together
serve two different purposes.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a high quality foam mattress, is what it is, at a great price.
Right. Yeah. The mattress that I'm using, the queen size, $850. A comparable mattress, other places will be well over $1,000. And Casper keeps their prices lower because they're selling online, so they don't have the overhead that goes along with having to have retail locations and the extra inventory for showrooms and all of that stuff.
That's the thing. They're made in America.
$850 retail, you get $50 off, so $800, free shipping. Just ship to your door in a box that fits through all your doorways in your house, and then magically you open the box and a mattress, I don't want to say springs forth because there's no springs in the mattress, but it does what it needs to do, and out it comes.
Leaps forth.
I'm pretty sure it's
leap.
Time
it's not
Lord
a dangerous
technology.
Process.
Yeah. No, it's nearly magical. But yeah, I'm pretty sure they're using Time Lord technology for the box because the mattress that's inside is bigger than the box.
Yes.
So yeah. Anyhow, so my sleep patterns. I've been monitoring my sleep patterns using my Fitbit One, just as I have been doing for years. And over the past 2 weeks since I've been using the mattress, I have noticed an increase in my average amount of sleep per night.
Seriously?
Seriously. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Now keep in mind, I have horrible insomnia. So when I say that my average sleep per night is up to 4.25 hours, a lot of people would be like, that's horrible. Well, on one hand, that's horrible. But for me, that's awesome because I am actually seeing an increase in the amount of sleep that I'm getting every night.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that is amazing.
It's absolutely fantastic.
What's the increase?
I am up over 2 weeks. And keep in mind, this is compared to years of data. I am up about 20 minutes. And so considering how much data I have.
And that's consistently up, right?
Yes.
It's a statistically significant increase based on your historical data.
Yes. It is a very significant increase.
Interesting.
And that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And
I
so,
hope it continues.
Yeah. So I'm
maybe
expecting
five and a quarter hours.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, for me, 5.25 hours would be absolute bliss. And
Casper.com/TDO.
Yeah. It's so I can honestly say this mattress has made a difference in my life. It has had a very positive impact on my sleep patterns. And that's a very, very big thing for me because I don't sleep. And now I'm getting a little bit more sleep, and I'm expecting that that trend will continue, and it will be just a day to dance when I hit that 5 hour average.
Sweet.
Yeah. So anyhow, you can get your $50 discount and hopefully start sleeping better too by going to Casper.com/TDO and check out the mattresses and order yours and start sleeping better, hopefully as quickly as I have. So thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor this week.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay. So the second topic that I would like to hit now that I am well rested is the statement that Apple has made about the mask attack security threat or flaw or whatever you want to call it in iOS 7.1 and higher. And this is the thing where someone can trick you into installing an app that they have crafted into their little malicious bundle, but it appears as if it's a different app. Like, you know, they could take, say, the Twitter app and build their own version that looks like the official app, but have it so that it's actually stealing passwords.
Mm.
And so the way this works is the attacker needs to have a developer enterprise account for iOS, and this is something that they get through Apple, and then they have to send or get you to download the malicious application and then get you to bypass the built-in security measures that will stop you from installing bad applications.
This is all possible.
This is all totally possible, and if you engineer your setup or your attack very well, you could potentially trick people into doing this. Apple is saying this is not a security issue. This is an issue where people are intentionally bypassing the built-in safety measures on their iOS device.
Yeah, so what it would take, though, is normally, in fact, we three here have certainly installed beta software on our iPhones because we get stuff from, you know, developers and mm-hmm. we're working with them or whatever. But for the most part, most people have never been through that process. So it would be a glaring change in process because instead of going into the app store, choosing the app, or even being at a web page that brings you to the app store to download the app, then you enter your password and it's that very comfortable process that you've been through many, many times. If you were to be the subject or the potential victim, the target of one of these mask attacks, you would visit a website, presumably, or maybe get an email, but eventually you'd be brought to the web. You would never be brought to the store. It would ask you, do you want to install this app? And it would be a dialogue you've never seen before. And then you'd have to agree. And then when you launched the app for the first time, after it downloaded, you would have to agree to trust apps from this developer because you've never trusted apps from this particular developer before in this capacity. So
Foreign process to the average
user.
It's
a totally foreign process.
But,
yeah, you've never launched an app and been asked, do you want to trust this developer? Never.
But. If the bad guys have done the relatively minor thing of making their phishing, probably, let's just, my fictitious scenario here is that it's a phishing email, right? Where they've sent a bogus email that looks like it's from Apple, from the App Store itself, sure, advertising some kind of
discount.
Discount or just you know,
you put screenshots in the email saying this is a special deal. You've got to agree these in a different way to get this particular app for free that you'd normally have to pay $20 for.
Click here to go to the App Store.
Engineer something.
Social engineer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if the person is thinking this is Apple, and they're going to some kind of web page that looks like it's the App Store, you know, ordinary non-geeky users have been tricked by a lot less. And they may go through all of those okays because it's not like you have to, it's not arcane. It's laborious, but it's not arcane, right? You don't have to know secret things to do to get through that process you just described. It's just cumbersome. But they might do that if they think, well, what the heck is Apple doing here? Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Boy, this was a pain in the butt. Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
and people have been tricked. Good people who aren't immersed in this stuff like we are, and like probably most of our listeners are, have been tricked by a lot less. And I am not willing to just dismiss this as a nothing
issue. Apple issued that statement to iMore basically saying this is a non-issue and we've heard from no one who has been the subject of an attack like this. But you make a good point, Brian. It's not a non-issue. It's totally, especially now, you know, I hate to bring this up because I don't want this to go away, but now that it's much simpler to add, for developers to add beta testers, and you've got 1,000 limit instead of 100, and it's a much better process with test flight and all of that. Although I guess this is happening outside of the test flight system, right?
Yes.
Because you don't have to have the test flight app installed. This is just the self-provisioned, I guess, for lack of a better term.
It's the enterprise.
It's the enterprise distribution. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I don't see this as so much an iOS issue. I see this as a people issue, because this isn't a problem that's limited to iOS. It doesn't matter what operating system you're running.
Correct.
You can be tricked into installing malicious software.
But Apple can yank the cert.
Yes, they can.
Yes.
So we have that,
a malicious developer.
Yeah. So we have, in a sense, a safety net in iOS, because if Apple kills their certificate, then that stops the apps from launching.
Yes.
Right. But there's that window between this starting and Apple yanking it. That is still the potential. It's a window.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So maybe there is more Apple can do to help protect iOS users. I'm not exactly sure what that would be right now. But maybe there is more that they can do. And regardless, I think it's important that they are paying attention to any potential security threat and figuring out whether or not there's something they can do to protect their users.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, we are out of time. So I'm actually kind of bummed because I'm really enjoying this conversation. But, you know, we're out of time. So, Dave, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast. It's been a while. I missed this conversation. So
and I was missing you too. So I'm really glad that you were available to join me today. And
I'm not all Canadian, dude. I didn't miss you at all.
And yet I'm still glad you're here, Brian. So yeah, thanks both of you for joining me. And thank you to Casper for being our show sponsor this week. And head on over to casper.com/TDO. And get yourself a new mattress with a $50 discount, because if I'm sleeping better, then odds are you'll be sleeping way better. So thank you again to Casper, and we'll see everyone next week.